Hello, this is Deborah Anderson, the Black Woman Animator, coming back to you with another video. And in this video, I have Kyle, Super Duper Kyle.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We gonna be vibing out on animation. You know, years ago, I came up with this idea to like just interview adults and celebrities about their love for animation. And so this works. Like this is all a part of my plan.
I love that. I love that. I love, thank you for making this platform for people to come on here and do this. Like, nobody ever asked me questions about animation. And I'm like, what, just because I'm grown up, I can't get no, you know what I mean? Come on.
Well, this will be exclusive. Bah, 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 bah. So, first question, what do you love about animation?
That's a good question. I think what I love about animation most is really endless possibilities of like places and things that you can invent and like come up with. And in a way, there's some that's like soothing about animation, and to this day, even more than just like a regular movie or a regular TV show, even if it's fantasy or not. And I think it's because just my entire childhood, I was connecting with those kind of characters. So now as an adult, and I was learning like deep things from these characters. Mm-hmm. So now as an adult, like anytime I watch animation, I still have this like soothing feeling from childhood, you know? But it's like had one consistent through line through my entire life. So I really like it for that. And also like how characters can just live forever, you know, right, and not change. Like, and I love that. You know what I mean? I want to like watch these shows my entire life if I can, with the same characters, same story, just growing and growing. Like, that's what I love about it.
So how was your childhood filled up with cartoons? What were you watching throughout the, you know, from itty bitty to, you know, teenager?
Oh my God, man, I'm like trying to think. I mean, I was watching everything under the sun, everything on Cartoon Network, everything on Nickelodeon, everything on Toonami. Mm-hmm. I mean, just endless amounts of shows. Ed, Edd n Eddy, SpongeBob, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Captain Planet, you know, Inuyasha, Yu Yu Hakusho, Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, even now as an adult, Attack on Titan, Rick and Morty.
Did you ever have that like
girls? I loved Powerpuff Girls.
Did you ever have that like elementary, like middle school phase of like drawing any of the characters, like anime characters or anything?
So the thing is, I did, right? But see, here's the thing. Okay. I'm good at a lot of things. Drawing is just not one of them. And it sucks because my whole family, my mom, my sister, my aunt, they can all draw amazing. And then God was just like, well, hey, hold on. Not him. So
I mean, we're just going to give you music though.
Yeah. Take music, take acting, take all that other stuff, but just come on. You know, and my favorite character to try and draw was always Bulma. And I would always try and draw Bulma in all these ways. And it just like, I had to stop doing it because I was like, at this point, I'm doing a disservice to Bulma. You know, if she ever came to life and met me, she would just slap me and be like, stop drawing me. You make me look crazy every time. Like, stop.
Yeah. So what animated content are you watching now?
Animated content that I'm watching now. I really like Castlevania. Like Castlevania. I've been watching Sword Art Online. I think Chainsaw Man impressed me the most recently with some of the animation. Those have kind of been some of my favorite. And I've been watching a lot of classics, like a lot of old stuff.
Yeah.
Because the cinematography in those is so much slower and so much more set on like, no, just look at this perfectly framed image.
Right.
You know, everything is not moving around at a million miles a second. There's something about that I really like admire and would love to hopefully like bring back, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for example, in the opening shot of Ghost in a Shell, she's like waking up out of bed and she's silhouetted against this window she opens up and it's just perfect rectangle box. And then she gets up, and as she walks into the darkness, she like disappears. And then you hear her like open a door, and the perfect rectangle of light like comes through.
Yeah.
And she goes in and then walks past it and like exits the frame. Yeah. And yeah, some of that like 90s anime animation is some of the best cinematography, I feel like, period. And that's why I think you see so many like epic movies just steal from, just stay to steal it. Like, take the entire shot, take the whole thing, because they cared so much about making everything look so epic, you know?
Yeah, I feel like the shots kind of mimic like what's going on in the world. So like with the social media kind of jump cutty quick stuff, that's how they do it in films too. But like back in the day, it was just all about like, you know, we vibing out, we just going slow. And so there was that, you know, room to do those long shots. But now I feel like people are catering to everybody having a short attention span. And so they're just kind of trying to keep those people interested as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Facts.
So what is your favorite, you know, style, subgenre of animation? Is it anime?
Yes, absolutely. I would say some of the themes, I think the animation was important for me loving anime because it's so realistic. It's like hyper realistic, whereas the majority of American cartoons were not, you know, they were like a legitimate cartoon like that.
Yeah.
Nobody looks like that, you know, or water doesn't shine like that, you know, or trees don't look like that, move like that. And I feel like anime was so much, had so much more realism in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I loved it a lot for that reason. And then two, I just kind of liked sort of, I mean, at sometimes they're definitely way too emotional. It's like, nobody needs to scream for that long. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need, I've never screamed for like 45 seconds ever in my life. I don't know if anybody has. I don't know if anybody's ever just went, ah, for like that long.
I mean, because you can't even hold, like, singers can't even hold a note for that long. So I know a person can't scream for that long.
Yeah, how are they doing that? Yo, shout out to them voice actors. Like, but yeah, I would say that anime is my favorite subgenre.
I think somebody told me that sometimes the way they do the stories in anime is like, because the Japanese culture is so subdued, they kind of release what they wish they could do in anime, through anime.
Yeah, I agree with that, because sometimes you'll see something that just like look insane. You're like, okay, well, never seen a person with a 14 pack, you know what I mean? They'll like have that, like,
right?
Like, and there's parts of that, I guess, that were cool, you know, that are appealing. It's almost like a superhero in a way of like, because I think even, you know, that's what Superman is too. He's just a bunch of stuff we'll never be able to do, put into like a character. And I think, yeah, anime definitely does that a lot, but it made me feel just like I could do anything type thing.
Yeah. That's what's up. Can you talk about how you got into writing and storytelling through like TV, film, and, you know, what's difficult about writing a script versus writing a song?
That's a good question. Well, I, my entire life, have always like had an infatuation and a passion for just writing. I remember even when it was like first grade, we're supposed to write an essay on like a tree. And then mine would turn into like this dramatic ass story, and somebody always died, and like all this crazy detailed stuff. So I just really loved stories. I just really loved stories. I loved movies, and I always just felt like I can write my own story all the time. And I would write little stories about things. And I think what's more difficult about that than writing a song, they almost have two different levels of, they have two different forms of things that are really difficult.
Okay.
Like for an example, when you're writing a script, you have all of this time to really piece together one message. Because for me, any form of writing is really about saying something, right? It's about delivering a message, whether it's a poem or a song or a script or like, whatever, it's about, okay, and this is what I'm trying to say. And you can read it and understand that. And writing a script, you have so much time to kind of lay out this message in this much longer way. But the difficulty in that, which I've learned a lot, you know, from like working with Carl and working with JD Samuels and like really talented professional writers, is you also have so much opportunity to like get lost and
move the goalposts,
not connect things, you know, and not connect things and all that. And then in the song, the really difficult part about writing a song is trying to get that message out in four words and also make the four words. You are trying to say a message without saying it.
Yeah.
It's strange. And you're trying to do it within like 10 words, you know, sometimes four words. Sometimes the verse is, I don't know, you know, sometimes you're just trying to say, I love you without just saying, hey, I love you so much. It's, you know, that even if I never get that call, you're something, something. It's still my all or something. Right, you're trying to put it in this same message about like, you know, I love you. I've never stopped loving you. And regardless if you ever love me back the way I do, I'm just going to hold on to this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Could be the message in a script. You can get that across.
Yeah.
Maybe even easier. And in a song, you got to do it in a couple words and it's got to be hot. Like, you know, got to bang. So I think that's probably the difference in difficulty, is that one is just a much longer process and you have more opportunities to mess it up. And then one is a way shorter process and you have less opportunities to get it right.
Bars. What are your thoughts on getting, you know, more content with Black characters in TV and movies?
I think my thoughts on that are that it is OD important for us to have representation, and not even just more Black characters in movies, the right Black characters in movies. And I know that when I say that, it could sound a little like, okay, well, how do you know what the right one is? And I'm not saying I do, but I noticed that there's some that are lacking.
Yeah.
There's some that aren't there a lot, as much as they should be. And in my opinion, we don't have enough Black characters that are just filled with eternal joy. You know, we don't have enough Black characters that are just so confident in themselves that there is no dark, misty mountain. What do you mean? You know?
Right.
I'm like, we don't really have Black characters with the same level of just blissful happiness and joy and confidence as like a Goku. Right. And I think that in our life, we're not paying attention to how much the images we're looking at on that screen are having an effect on what we feel like we can or can't do.
Yeah.
You know, because every dude I see flying around does not look like me. And me believing I can fly as a little kid will make me believe that I can become successful. You know, flying's much harder than becoming, like, I don't know, like, successful in your field.
Right.
And I think that we need more characters that are not based around revenge. They're not pissed off, okay? They're not mad, you know? They're not pissed off. They're not any of those things.
They're not attached to trauma.
Not attached to trauma. They're not like, it starts off and their family was slain and now they're trying to just go and seek revenge and like destroy the person who did it. How about maybe they're in such an awesome place, mentally, physically, spiritually, and all that, and the forces of evil are trying to like take that away from them, like a Dragon Ball or something, and they can't do it because, you know what I mean? They're just that okay with themselves. So that's kind of what I feel like is important about getting more Black characters on there. They're not attached to trauma, not attached to revenge, not attached to violence, just straight up fantasy and joy, you know? Fantasy and joy and just kicking bad guy butt. Like, super simple, super easy. And for whatever reason, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I feel like the majority of the Black characters I had to watch were always had some sort of like, I don't know, stern, either like a stern personality or like, you know, just a little jaded or out for revenge or just kind of like, I don't know. I want more, just like, I want more Penny Proud, you know, who's just, she's like not in this insanely broken family and has to like crawl herself from the slump. She's just like a normal girl. And she happens to be the nice, like happy one. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's fine. Like, just show us more images of ourselves just being super content and okay. And actually, on top of that, show us images of us soaring around, zapping things with our eyes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just unaffected and unafraid of the bad guy. I've never seen Superman, like, super pressed. Like, they're going to destroy me. Or the same thing with Goku. They just believe in love and they believe in taking care of the people they love. And it's just a bunch of positive stuff that, for some secret reason, just never gets greenlit.
Mm-hmm. And then more characters where, you know, when we're locked into our community, we can tell when we didn't do it. We didn't do that character. Or we didn't do that storyline. Like, it's very obvious.
Mm. Yeah.
We're like, like, even for me, sometimes it's like, there are multiple ways to be Black, but not that way. Like, that's a white person's interpretation.
Yeah.
Of being Black.
No, for real. That, I mean, and that was like the most prevalent thing that I like just had to accept, you know, I guess. Yeah. I just had to be like, okay. Like, and the thing is, so much of our like historically awesome like Black characters, and especially like not even just in animation, but more like in a movie or something, right? Like an epic character that we remember is just such a massive, like, this script was not written by somebody like us.
Yes.
You know, and it's the most popping one. You know, like, and maybe I don't even know if I have proper context on this. Mm-hmm. So maybe I shouldn't say it, but yeah. I probably won't until I know who wrote the script. Because, like, actually, somebody did write that. But just some of these characters I remember, I'm just like, that's the most notable image to me of, like, this kind of Black person. And I wonder if it's even made up by us.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
We kind of talked about it in this last question, but like, what are you hoping to create and what do you hope people create in movies, like animated movies? Like, are there any specific storylines? Obviously Black Joy, but what is like what is a dream storyline that you're like, I wish somebody would create this?
The storyline I wish was added to the world of animation, especially Black animation, is I want to make a storyline based around a character whose main power or main, like, you know, attribute about them that makes them prevail over evil is just eternal optimism. Like, I want a storyline based around somebody who believes everything is gonna go right and then it all goes right.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, in real life, is the most important key to actually being successful or being able to like have a positive impact on your own life is believing that it's going to be so.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that sometimes when all of the stories and characters are based around hopelessness and trauma and all this crazy stuff, you just feel either happy that they got revenge or happy that they survived.
Yeah.
And the whole time, I just feel like when you believe everything is going to go good, it does. You know, like the person that believes they can and the person that believes they can't are the same. They're both right. And that is really a storyline that I would want to see. I want to see somebody, a Black character, with just eternal optimism that does not give up hope and doesn't even get bogged down by the evil forces at bay. Because I believe that the real war on, like, social justice is really just a war on the image. And like, and it's always been that way. Propaganda and all that has always been that. And I feel as if they can show you images of yourself that don't have hope and all that stuff, that's how they'll just rob you of your joy.
Yeah.
And I feel like my entire life, like, I'm a pretty like upbeat, happy-go-lucky dude, you know? And my entire life, I feel like something has been trying to take that from me. You know what I mean? I genuinely believe that. And that's the storyline. The forces of evil are trying to steal this character's joy, steal their hope, and they can't because the person is just has eternal optimism. They're too optimistic. They're too stoked on life. They cannot be beaten down.
I feel like that's a bomb ass storyline.
Yeah, they want to break your spirit.
You know, animation is about being fantastical, and you know, maybe somebody would immediately hear that and be like, "Oh, that's not realistic." But what is realistic in animation, and why we cannot be quote unquote realistic, and it still can work? Like, why can't we do absolutely something different?
Goku is an alien with a monkey's tail who never frowns, never does none of that. You know what I'm saying? And just always believes he can win against all odds. And then he does. That's not realistic either. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I want to see myself doing that. You know, or somebody that looks like us doing that. And I feel like it will just do so much like good for the minds of kids at home watching themselves do that.
Definitely.
They're gonna start acting different, talking different, like, you know, and yeah, it can be done in a positive way.
I feel like in my 20s, before I was, when I was a little bit less jaded, I feel like I'm very, you know, I haven't been thrashed by life, but when I was more optimistic, I had an idea for like a board game, like called Optimism, where you just saw the good in everything.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought about that in so long.
Because
life be life.
Life is life, and now you're watching Batman and shit like, yeah.
You like, what? As you get older, you're like, curmudgeon old people have a point. Like, they, not everybody should be like that, but I get it.
Yeah, you start getting beaten down by life and whatnot. And like, see, now imagine if the content we were watching even just helped with that.
Yeah.
You know, like, even in a similar sense of like music. When you're sad, you can put on a sad song, but when you're sad, you can also put on like Happy by Pharrell and like get up out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if, and I think that's why superhero movies are so popular now, because life is life and hard on everybody, and they want to go watch somebody whoop that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's kind of, if I could see anything come to the animation space, it would be that.
Nice. What do you wish the animation industry would stop doing?
That's a really good question. It's kind of hard for me to answer because I feel like if something gives me an icky feeling, I just don't continue watching it. So
yeah.
It's like they can kind of do what they want. I hope they would do something more. You know what? I wish that the animation space would stop making... And maybe this is just a personal one, right?
Yeah.
But I wish that they would stop making like cartoons that lack like real deep, like kind of emotional and empathetic like moments in the cartoon, even if it's for kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the amount that you can grow as a person from watching a cartoon that also deals with like something really poetic and like kind of like a real internal issue.
Yeah.
I think that those are just more profound and they like give us keys to like work through stuff in life. Like in Yu Yu Hakusho, like Yusuke, I remember I was watching that a lot as a little kid, and you know, there was like a lot going on in that point of my childhood. And after I finished that entire series, and like Yusuke essentially learns that anger is not the way, and he's going to be twice as powerful if he operates from love. Like that, I can use that, you know?
Yeah.
I can use that to go out and build a better life for myself. And if I wouldn't have gotten that message until I was like, I don't know, 22, and I'm watching something that maybe is more for grownups, like by then, what's the point? You know, I'm already lifed. Life already done lifed me. So... you know what I'm saying? So now, like, I just feel like if they focused more on that when making cartoons, and obviously make it silly and make it bubbly, and then also add that in there, too. You know, like, add things like that, whether it's dealing with friendship or this, but just add real lessons. And I feel like maybe in animation right now, it's like people are afraid to, like, give a lesson because they think maybe everybody won't agree with it. And it's like, why are you telling our kids this or that? But I think as the creator or as the creative or the writer, any person that's putting it together, it's a part of your job to have a profound message and one and that's already been ironed over again and again and again. So you're not ashamed of anybody hearing this message that you had to say. So yeah. I feel like I want them to do that, you know, and stop just mm-hmm. making stuff that was just like a funny knee slapper and then rolled on. Like, don't be afraid to teach them some too. Here you go. Here's some info. Yeah. Here's how you deal with your emotional anger. Go ahead. Take that.
Go on and learn you something.
Yeah.
As someone who has been an independent artist, what do you think is the power in that? And what advice can you give to people who want to try and do animation independently? Like, what do you hope Black animators are doing in this current landscape of like animation software on your phone, YouTube, TikTok, Patreon, etc.?
I think that Black animators should be anything independent. The key word in independent is by yourself, right? So like, it's clearly going to be just much more difficult, but don't be discouraged by baby stepping it all the way to the top, mm-hmm. right? Like in music, for example, everybody wants to just like make one song, send it to some like famous rich executive guy, get signed, get millions of dollars, and just like have some massive debut album type thing. Chances are that it's not going to be you. And so you can give up right there. Or you can baby step it where you drop one song, you make one piece of merch, one thing. They only get 100 plays and you keep going until they get 1,000 and you keep going until they get millions one day. And I feel like you can do the same thing in the animation space with all the tools that you have and social media. You can almost build a fan base for a universe prior to it having anything more than just the story. Mm-hmm. You could post the story that you can write on your phone and read the story and fall in love with these characters. And then from there, you can build that fan base and cultivate it. You can do Patreon for it. You can do GoFundMes for the next chapter of the thing. Maybe next they want to see it animated or they want to see it illustrated. And now you can go out and make like a graphic novel.
Right.
You know, and build that little by little by little. And then, or you can start right off just animating it. If you're nice at that yourself, you know, if you're really sick at that.
Yeah.
You can start that from the beginning and just build it at any baby stage, because all of that is laying foundation for your thing to like come to fruition. So I kind of feel like that's my best piece of advice would just be start on the internet, start on social media. And even if you don't have a single picture, just show them the story.
Yeah.
Put it out, type out in the notes and start promoting it to people. Read this. And you might look up 10 years later and have like a show, you know? And that sounds crazy, right? It sounds like a long time, but anything in this world that matters takes forever.
Yeah.
It's a fact. I've done it in like multiple different avenues before.
Yeah.
Music being one of them, like acting and movies and film being another one.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them things took me more than 10 years to accomplish anything like noteworthy.
I feel like it's kind of crazy because being like, you know, millennials or Gen Z, we've grown up in where the Issa Raes and stuff like that have done stuff independently and saw success from that, like your music career. But it's like people in their 30s and 20s and even teenagers are still trying to pitch. It's like, can you speak about the power of independent? Like,
yeah, for real. No, think about it. Issa Rae, funny. She's like, I'm funny. My ideas, funny.
Mm-hmm.
They are. Like, they're already good. Camera, affordable. Like, it's right there. I got time. I'm going to go outside. And, sorry, it's like another plan. I got time. So I'm going to go outside and shoot this. You know? And, like, I heard a really good quote, and I can't remember who it's from, so I don't want to misquote it, but it was from a really sick director.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, if you want to be in films and you want to be in movies, you should go get a pen and a piece of paper and you should write out your script and read it and send it to your friends and let them tell you if they like it or not. Take it back, try and make it better. Then that same week or the next week, if it takes you a week to write it, the next week you need to go out with some friends and shoot it.
Yeah.
Right? If you only have the means to shoot, you can shoot something that takes place in an apartment and mm-hmm. shoot it there at home and do it. And I've practiced this myself. I'm like, you know, films sometimes can be like far and few between. And mm-hmm. for the longest, I wanted to continue making films. This is during the pandemic. And I wasn't able to. So I wrote something. It's called Ally and I. It's on YouTube right now. You can go check it out. And nice. All inspired from this one quote. Wrote it, got my friends to help me write it, then got my friend to help me like make it better and write it and direct it. Like found some like talented people to just come shoot it at the house. And it was really mm-hmm. like a group of friends just making this movie. Yep. And it's there. And even if, because I think perfectionism gets in people's way. And that's why they want to skip the part where, you know, Issa Rae's Insecure didn't look as polished when she was shooting it herself on like a DSLR camera, you know, or yeah. however it was that she shot it. And people want to skip that part. And they wanted to just go right to the point where, you know, and I know it's called Awkward Black Girl, it's, you know, it's not, but essentially the idea, you know,
yeah.
like the idea of, the concept of her show was like in her mind and she was making it. And people want to skip the part where it looks like that and just go to the part where it's like
yeah.
starring Zendaya or whoever. They want to go right to the point where it's huge. Mm-hmm. And that perfectionism will keep you from ever having anything. Because even mm-hmm. if the idea that they have for their movie in their mind is so epic and it's so perfect, it's like, well, mine's is better than yours because mine's exists.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, mine's exists. It's on YouTube right now. Go watch it.
Everybody got an idea. Like I saw this comic and it's like a house is burning down and a firefighter is sitting in a chair sipping some coffee. And he's like, I'm an idea fireman. And I'm like, everybody's an idea person. If he's an idea fireman, how that help to burn a house?
Yeah. Somebody
you need water cooked. And execution.
Yeah. Somebody is getting cooked. Somebody's getting cooked if that's the case. So yeah, I think that's the power of independence is like, just go do it and make it better and better and better and better and better and better. And that's the quickest way to the top. Like, and that's the only guaranteed way. That is the only guaranteed way towards like progression. Seth Rogen mm-hmm. had a really cool quote too. Like, you know, if you start and you don't give up, two things could happen. You could never make it. Mm-hmm. Or you could make it, but if you don't start, then only one thing is going to happen. You're definitely right. never going to make it. It's your
right.
career choice you want. So just start it. Just do it. Like, just go do it. Somebody might watch that movie and clown, like, oh, my God, the lighting is not. It's not because I shot it myself and, like,
right.
did it. You know? But by the way, it's amazing. Like, and it's and better than whatever you got cooking in your
mind. Completed something.
Yeah, it's completed. It exists. It's better than whatever you got cooking up in your mind right now.
And the thing is, there's a difference between having the idea written down and being able to. People can tell the difference between a writer who has executed something and a writer who's just written things. Because there's a difference between how you write when you've actually done things and you know what the reality of like shooting this is. And yeah. like a budget. And so if you got like little, you know, your little penny stuff on like that you're doing, that is teaching you how to write for the reality of production.
Yeah. No, for real. For real. And that's a whole another like really accurate point right there. Like also too, the only way you're going to learn is by doing really. Yeah. Cause you can imagine everything in the world and then you get to actually making it and you realize how many errors are in your script because this is how you actually shoot it now.
Yeah.
You know? And so just start mm-hmm. doing it, you know, start doing it right now. Even if you're just doing it for Instagram or TikTok or wherever, or YouTube, just go film them, go write them, go film them, believe in them, promote them, get better over time. Who cares if people are like, whoa, this is low budget. Yeah, duh. I shot it on my iPhone. But guess what? It's better than yours because yours does not exist. Like,
yes,
you know, so.
All right. A couple, you know, rapid fire questions, then we could be done.
Okay.
Let me pick a. Do you have a guilty pleasure animated like TV show that you watch? Like, for example, for me, I'll probably pick like a kid's show if I watch like, you know, Paw Patrol or something. Like, do you have a guilty pleasure, like, or embarrassing TV show that you watch or animated movie?
Yeah. Ooh. It's not even a, maybe it is a guilty pleasure. I don't know if this is a guilty pleasure. I really don't know. I feel like this is probably really good. But I love this movie called The Good Dinosaur. And every time I watch it, I cry. Like, if I ever need to get a real good cry out real quick, I'll look around. Like, go to Disney. Good Dinosaur.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
If you had a clique of animated friends, which characters would be in your clique? So for me, like, this might seem weird, but like, you know, Sebastian, Daria, and like Zazu, like, I can connect with people who other people think is mean, but they really are loving.
Okay.
So like, who would be in your clique?
In my clique, we're going to throw SpongeBob in there just for pure entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to annoy a lot of us, but I'm going to think he's funny. And when he annoys somebody else, I'm probably going to laugh at that too. So I'm going to add SpongeBob in there. We adding Goku in there for protection. I'm adding Faye Valentine in there just in case we ever get in like a real jam or something, like with the cops or something, and we need somebody who can like pick locks and do all types of extra secret agent stuff. Last but not least, even though he's not technically like a human and I can't talk to him, Pikachu. Just sit there and look cute, you know? That's our squad.
Vibes. What animated character would you find annoying in real life?
Jerry from Tom and Jerry. Let's call it what it is. That guy's annoying.
Let's just state the facts.
State the facts. All he does is lay traps all day and like hit you with like a thumbtack and like then throw a pie at you. Just agent of chaos. I don't know if Tom is the bad one in that scenario. He's just getting beat up all day.
Right.
Yeah.
If a studio could only do it perfectly, which animated movie or TV show do you wish they would remake or have a part two for?
If a studio could do it perfectly.
Or a continuation of the story.
Yeah. I would love to see a continuation of Cowboy Bebop, the animated one. I don't want to make it real life. All right, let's not do that. Let's continue the animated one and see all those people like kind of like find their ways like back, you know?
Yeah.
Or just see what the aftermath of all that stuff that went down would like then create. Yeah. Because it just each one of those episodes were like either Faye is leaving or, you know, Jet's leaving, like kind of all ended in this crazy poetic way. I'm just like, wow, there's so much more depth to you that I want to discover.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for coming on my platform and showing your love for animation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
I just like look forward to what you're doing, what you're working on and seeing and you know, with your music career and with the TV film stuff. So keep going.
Thank you. Yeah. You are awesome. Thank you for making this platform. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. You know?
And to everyone out there, I want you to like, so I know it's real. Comment and tell me how you feel. Subscribe to Citadel and sign up for post notifications to show your zeal. And I'll see you in the next video.
Peace. See ya. Cheers.